Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Well, it's all.
Welcome to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. The Dog Talk Show is brought to you by Invisible Fence Northwest. Visit InvisibleFenceNW.com to find out about their awesome products and services. Invisible Fence Northwest for the life of your pet. So, hi, Eric.
Hi, Julie. Sorry, we got a phone call there, and I was trying to grab that just to make sure it wasn't our guest.
So. Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, no problem.
So I had a, so much to talk about today, but we had a little interesting bit of drama today just on my way to the show. So I'm actually have just made it close to the station and am going to run up for the second segment in the booth, but if you're hearing background noise, it's because of the... because I'm in my car for the first segment. So there was an accident. I don't know if you reported on it. It was on a smaller street, but it was there was a car on the light rail line. And so anyway,
you got to
be
careful.
That's why I may sound different.
You can't go you can't go driving on the tracks.
No, light rail tracks are only for trains.
That's right.
I hope nobody was hurt. But so much to talk about. Of course, we had the wiener dog race at the Seahawks game, which was this past Sunday. So I will talk about my experience there. It was so much fun. And
for those of us that missed it, we're all anxiously waiting to hear how Leia did.
Leia, yes. And you can go most of the videos that I have are posted on website, dogtalkshow.com, so you can actually go to the site and see. I've got it pretty well documented as best I could, being that I was also participating in the race. So the worst footage I have is Leia's race, and it's actually pretty funny to watch, because it's like you see me rolling and they're announcing the dogs and we're all standing there, and then you can tell as soon as Leia starts racing, it's like you can hear everybody screaming. You can hear me screaming her name, and the camera just starts going nuts. So that was me forgetting that I was
filming
and focused on trying to get Leia to see me because she was so far away.
Ah, okay. I watched that, and I was like, okay, why are we suddenly watching the AstroTurf or the grass, you know?
I know. Oh, gosh, but it was fun. The whole thing, I have a fair amount of it all documented, and the whole thing, you know, walking out onto the field, and it was so loud, you know, I mean, the Quest field is huge, and it was full of people, and all the noise of the production, as well as the fans, and then the dogs are like 50 feet away from you, so... You know, and we weren't able to go up and start right in front of the dogs and then, like, walk backwards. So that the dogs were just kind of like, you know, didn't necessarily know where we were, couldn't see us, and certainly couldn't hear us. So I was just like, we had one opportunity for a practice run, and I was just praying that Leia figured it out and knew that I was there. And she did such a great job. All the dogs did such a great job with, you know, all the noise and everything, and it was so much fun. And
well, I was impressed that you managed to score a pre-race interview with Leia that is also up there on the Dog Talk Show website.
Yeah, you know, there's one video where I'm like, you know, I'm just excited, and I'm talking to her, and you can see that she's wagging her tail, and I started talking to her like, you gonna come get me, Leia? And I was like, oh my gosh, am I being that person on the movie Best in Show who's like talking to the dog before the show and getting them all amped up? The main difference being that I wasn't being like verbally abusive, of course. I was just, you know, excited and you know, getting her excited, but I was kind of got a little self-conscious about myself there for a second. But you can see that video, too, on the website, www.dogtalkshow.com.
There's some fascinating insight there in that interview,
yeah, well,
I think.
Yes. And, you know, it. I think it gives a good representation, anyway, of our experience from our viewpoint, and even the bad footage of the second heat race and then the final race. I don't know what was going on, but, you know, it was just such a fun event. And Sherry and Mike with Wiener Tails and Wienerfest Northwest, they just do such a good job with their, all the coordination, and it was just something really spectacular to be a part of. So that was super fun, and, you know, check out those videos. They're a riot. And so we've got a great guest coming up in the next segment. We have Maggie McClure, who's coordinator for the Vashon Sheepdog Classic, which is this weekend, this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, on Vashon Island at Misty Isle Farms. And we're going to be talking to her about the event and about herding breeds and herding drive and all that good stuff, about doing herding with your dog and all that. So we'll be talking to her at the beginning of the next segment. So I'm looking forward to that. And so we had the Seahawks race on Sunday, and then we also, I went to the Assistance Dogs at Work conference on Saturday. And that was, I've been announcing that event for several weeks, and that was a sort of a joint event put on both by the International Association of Assistance Dog Partners, as well as the Assistance Dog Club of Puget Sound. And it was a great conference this Saturday. Darcy went to both days, but I went to the Saturday conference, and there were just a whole bunch of amazing speakers. The keynote speaker was fabulous. There were a lot of great presentations. One in particular that stands out to me was the presentation about the courthouse dogs, which is something that happens locally. And I'm going to be talking, I've got the contact information for the woman that gave that presentation, but we're going to have them on the show in the near future. But they basically have dogs in the courthouses to help comfort, especially children who have to testify, because a lot of times they're too scared to say, you know, about, to kind of talk about scary things that happen to them, you know, abuse and stuff like that. But the prosecution needs that, those testimonials as evidence. So the dogs actually really help them to feel comfortable enough and safe enough to talk and say what happened. Really, really amazing stuff. And that was just such a great conference. We get to have lunch with Grace Van Dyke, who's the training coordinator for the Prison Pet Partnership Program. She was there and got to talk to her about their program, which, of course, I love. We've had them on the show a few times. So that was an awesome conference as well. It was quite a weekend between the Assistance Dogs at Work conference and then the Seahawks Wiener Dog races. And now we've got the Vashon Sheepdog Classic this coming weekend. So just when you think all the events are over for the summertime, you get a whole bunch of great ones in the fall. So there's another event I wanted to announce. There's October 2nd this weekend from 11 to 3. There's a pet CPR class, pet CPR, pet first aid, and this is actually a fundraiser for Missing Pet Partnership. That's at the Kent Senior Center. And if you would like to find out more information about that, you can go to creeksidecrittercare.com, creeksidecrittercare.com. And I was, just yesterday, I had the opportunity to sit in on a visit, a first training visit with Georgia Welch, who is the head trainer for Invisible Fence Northwest. And I got to witness a 8-month-old pug learning about how Invisible Fence works, and I got to just see the training, and that was such a cool thing. I am doing what I do, dog training and behavior. you know, I love watching dogs learn and watching dogs think. It's what I do every day, and I love it. And I also love seeing dogs and their people kind of getting that their dogs can't actually think in that way. But this was specific to the invisible fence systems, and their technology is just so evolved, you know, over like the last decade when I was first learning about them almost 10 years ago. And they start out with such small level on the collar that you can actually hardly even feel it. So the dogs really learn that the flags and the tone, and they learn about the boundary, they learn how the collars work, what turns it on, what turns it off, on a very, very low level at first, so that then they understand what's going on, and then they'll boost it up to however high it needs to be for the individual to keep them, even when they're distracted by something like a squirrel or, you know, something like that. So just awesome. They're such an awesome company. I'm so glad to have them on the show. And check out, not only do they have their systems, but they have such cool products on their site, too. So check that out, InvisibleFenceNW.com. So I will be up in the booth, Eric, for the second segment, and we'll have our interview with Maggie McClure.
Great.
With the Vashon Sheepdog Classic. So stay tuned for that. We'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Well, it's
Hi, this is Julie Forbes, your host of the Dog Talk Show and owner of Sensitive Dog, Dog Training and Behavior. Invisible Fence Northwest uses a balanced, gentle approach to help dogs learn their boundaries. I've seen it firsthand. They work with each person and pet as an individual and teach in a way that's fun and respectful. Your dog quickly learns it has freedom and fair boundaries, so is safe, happy, and secure. Isn't that what we all want for our dogs? Save $100 when you visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you're a Dog Talk Show fan. They're there for the life of your pet.
Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
Let's play 10 questions. What is new at KKNW?
Real estate radio.
What's the show about?
Real estate.
Actually, Val, we focus on buying, selling, owning, and financing residential real estate.
That's right, at the ground level, where most of us live.
Who are you guys?
Well, I'm Rob Gray, a broker for John L. Scott in West Seattle.
And I'm Craig Goble with Cascade Pacific Mortgage.
We're both active real estate professionals, and we're in the trenches every day.
Don't miss Real Estate Radio at its new time, 2 o'clock every Thursday here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Hi, I'm Joy Turner, host of Talk With Your Animals, the show that lets you talk with your animals Wednesdays at 3 p.m. As a medium, I talk with your companions live on air to find the answers to the questions you want to ask. Call in and ask about health, behavior, transitions in life, or anything else. Even talk with animals who have crossed over. Animals have wonderful things to say. Join us for a fun-filled and inspiring hour Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Talk With Your Animals with Joy Turner, the show you and your animal companions are going to love.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Jones & Company Pets in Marysville, we cover the world of animals. And speaking of Jones & Company, this week we'll be broadcasting live from their store. It's their huge annual blowout sale, so come join me for free espresso, popcorn, and cotton candy, tons of product reps, free samples, and super sale prices. We'll talk to all the experts and have an open mic for your questions. Hope to see you there for Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon at Jones & Company Pets in Marysville and right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Remember, you're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Julie Forbes, you're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. Nice to see you, Eric.
Good to see your smiling face here in the studio. I'm glad you made it here okay and safe and sound.
That was something. That's a first so far. So, hey, so you got to be flexible in life sometimes, huh?
That's right. I think our dogs can teach us that on a regular basis, really.
Flexibility.
They're very flexible.
And patience.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Maggie McClure, the head sheepdog and coordinator of the Vashon Sheepdog Classic with us today. Hi, Maggie.
Hi, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm great. I'm happy to be here.
Good.
So now, as far as, I mean, at least with people that I know who live on Vashon and who are friends, it's all the buzz, the sheepdog trials happening this weekend.
Yeah, people are super excited about it. It's been 7 years since the last time we've had a trial here on the island, and you know, it's a big deal. We're excited to have the community so involved this year.
Yeah, it's we're excited to, you know, get out of the city and go to Vashon and then watch the border collies mostly do their magic.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a fundraising event. Correct?
Correct. Yeah, we're using this as a kind of a platform to help raise money for partners in education, and we're calling it the Smart Dogs for Smart Kids campaign. And yeah, we're raising money to help our teachers get some grant money to help them do special projects within our schools here.
Mm-hmm. And this goes directly to the teachers, correct?
Exactly.
So it's a fun setup that they can access directly.
They do, yeah. They write a grant and they approach partners in education, and then partners in education goes through and starts doling out the money for the projects that are needed. Yeah, it's a pretty cool way to get the money to the classroom directly.
Well, that's great. And are there still dogs available to be sponsored?
They are. Yeah, we've got this great Smart Dogs for Smart Kids dog sponsorship program going on, and we have about, I think, 20 more dogs available to sponsor, and it costs $100 to sponsor a dog, and if that dog happens to be the high point dog of the weekend, you get a chance to win a Whistler getaway for 3 nights up in Whistler at a really swanky condo.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
And so the website is VashonSheepdogClassic.com. And that is also posted on the Dog Talk Show website, so you can just click on it from there as well, which is dogtalkshow.com.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a tab at the top, the second one in, that says Sponsor a Dog, and so you can click on that and look at how to go about doing that. And so, as you know, in our conversation earlier, we have cattle dogs, so we are all too familiar with the herding breeds.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's one of those main drives that all dogs have. And then with the herding breeds in general, you know, the border collies, the cattle dogs, the Australian shepherds, the corgis, all those guys that have where that's sort of been focused on and brought out more and more intense. But all dogs have this inclination, and it's, you know, to me seems like one of the fundamental relation or one of the earliest relationships that people and dogs had was this working relationship, herding. And I think I read somewhere, which makes sense to me, that we actually could not have as successfully started, you know, large herds, livestock, and farms without dogs.
Helping us. Oh, I think that's definitely true.
Yeah, I mean, you just can't do it without the help of the dogs.
Absolutely. To move, it would take so many people to help move a large flock of sheep or cattle or whatnot. The amount of manpower it would take and ground that would need to be covered just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So, the dogs have been around, the herding dogs have been around since, the earliest that I know of is about the 14th century.
Mm.
What kind of herding dog that was, Lord knows. Mm-hmm. But they did have dogs helping them gather and move livestock, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still used today all over the world. The Border Collie is the number one useful dog throughout many different countries, especially in areas where you cannot get a four-wheeler or you cannot get any, you're on foot and, you know, or maybe even a motocross bike and you have your dogs to help.
Yeah.
Help you out there.
Yeah. And we had, I think it was almost exactly a year ago now, we had John Katz, who's an author, and he lives on a farm in upstate New York. And he talked quite a bit in his book, Soul of a Dog, and also in his interview about his Border Collie, Rose. And it was just, reading about her in his book and hearing him talk about her, I was just like, that dog is running that farm as much as he is. I mean, she would be up through the night checking on everybody, checking on all the animals, doing her round. I mean, she, you know, if especially if you could have asked her, and I think John would agree with this too, that it was her farm as much as it was his. And, it was interesting. We talked a little bit about, because I have cattle dogs, and then in this these trials in particular, it's mostly Border Collies, and I think you said there were a few Kelpies.
Mm-hmm,
but that there
true.
Was a difference in how different herding breeds actually herd.
Oh, yeah.
So can you talk, I'm curious to learn more about, the difference, why they, like with the Border Collies, you said scope was a huge thing, and I'm assuming that's because of just different function. The cattle dogs' functionality is different than the Border Collies. Can you go into that a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, the Border Collie is used as a very strong gathering dog, so it can cover a lot of ground to bring the sheep back to its person. Now, other breeds, like the cattle dog, the Aussie, Corgi, mm-hmm. are often used in closer quarters, so they don't need to have their skill set's different.
Mm-hmm.
So, they're able to get into the tighter corners without having as much intimidation or impact on the livestock and kind of move around in a different way. So it's really cool to watch all these different breeds of dogs do their magic because their skill sets are so different.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a Border Collie fan. So
yeah.
I've worked with all sorts of different breeds, and they all have a different way. I had someone come out the other day to do some herding lessons with some Icelandic sheepdogs, mm-hmm. and they're very much a driving type of dog, and they bark a lot. They're very vocal in the style of work they do,
mm-hmm.
And you'll see that in a lot of different breeds. In New Zealand, they use huntaways to do the gathering, and then they have these other dogs that come in and do a lot of barking to do the driving piece of the work. So they have completely different dogs used for different tasks,
mm-hmm.
and keep both on hand.
Yeah. Yeah, and then have them all just working together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when you were talking about scope particularly, mm-hmm. now that is like what you said a Border Collie would do that a cattle dog wouldn't do, for example. Is that if a sheep was like 400, what did you say, 400 yards away? Or am I making that up? So,
no.
Quite a ways away, just the difference in programming, that animal wouldn't even hit a cattle dog's radar. Like, they're not looking that far away.
Right.
But a Border Collie is going to see an animal that's way far away and then go out and bring it back.
Exactly.
Okay.
and 400 yards or a mile. You know, they'll keep going. They have a way of moving that when they see the livestock, if they're working correctly, you know, they're opening up and doing what we call an outrun, and their outrun should be very pear-shaped because they don't want, it's intrinsic in the border collie to go around and behind the sheep. So when they finally make contact with the sheep or their presence is felt from the sheep, it's when they are bringing the sheep directly back to the person. It's like they have a little internal compass that says, get these sheep to my person.
Right. They don't want to be moving the sheep further away.
Exactly.
Right.
Or
sheep see the border collie. Right. Ah, there's a border collie coming. Run.
Right. So yeah. Going straight down the field like a bowling ball or a really direct approach would be very upsetting.
Right.
And the sheep would, you know, skedaddle in all directions. Mm-hmm. So having a dog that goes and stretches around behind them without upsetting them and then gets them skedaddling in the right direction is what we want to see.
Mm-hmm. Got it. And how many dogs do you have?
We have 6 dogs here.
Okay. And do you live on a working farm then, or?
Well, mostly I help people with their dogs. That's, and here on the farm, I do keep sheep. I'm only on 8 acres, so I can only keep so many sheep here, and then I have the rest of my sheep kind of here and there across the island.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't call it a working situation, but we do raise lamb. And we have sheep here to train the dogs and work the dogs. But that's mainly it's about the dogs, more about the sheep. I love sheep, and they're here to help me with the dogs and bring a little extra income in, but it's not a big farm.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're going to take a break, and I have many more questions for you, Maggie. So look forward to coming back in just a few minutes. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey, bird dog, get away from my quail. Hey, bird dog, you're on the wrong trail. Bird dog, you better leave my loving dove alone.
Camley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Kemley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured, Kemley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
Hi, I'm Vicki St. Clair. I want to invite you to join me every Monday at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. We'll talk with innovative business leaders, medical and health professionals, authors, filmmakers, adventurers, and ordinary people leading extraordinary lives. Join me Mondays at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Next Monday, Vicki talks to dermatologist Howard Murad. He'll debunk myths about hydration and inflammation, and also dream coach Joyce Chapman answering listener questions.
Check out our guest schedule at conversationslive.net and join me Mondays at noon.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a 2-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Some people know a good thing when they hear it. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. The Everly Brothers, I believe. Eric, well done.
Correct.
Yes. I think I must know that because of my father. So we are back with Maggie McClure. Now, what's your coordinator, head sheepdog?
I like head sheepdog. I like that hat.
Okay.
I'll wear that one.
Okay. Head sheepdog of the Vashon Sheepdog Classic coming up this weekend. Welcome back.
Thank you.
So, about the event itself, Now, this is a three-day event, and these are trials, sheepdog mm-hmm. trials. So these dogs are being judged. So what is it that they, you know, what is it that herding dogs should do and what gets them points and all that type of thing?
Well, the way it's, the schedule is Friday will be our novice dogs, and that means we have a pro novice class that starts in the morning, and that can be a young and experienced handler with a dog maybe that they purchased from someone else that was already trained. So together as a team, they're the pro and the novice, the pro being the dog in that case. Or we have sometimes an open handler or a handler with more experience with their young, inexperienced dog.
Okay.
So that's kind of how that class works. And then we have the novice-novice class, which is a young, inexperienced handler and an inexperienced dog who's learning. So those are the classes that will be offered on Friday. And then Saturday we'll have our open level of competition, which is the highest level of herding competition.
Okay.
And, yeah, with the judging, it's we start with an allotted amount of points, and then the points, so the perfect run exists until you send your dog, and then the points start coming off.
Okay.
So it could be, well, like we were talking about scope and the gather and how we want this nice, pretty outrun and the sheep not to be upset. If that dog came in too tight or too close to the sheep, then that would be a deduction in points. The next segment of work, once the dog gets to the top of the field and behind the sheep, is what we call the lift. And the lift is a really important piece. It only takes a few seconds, maybe 2 seconds. It might take 20 seconds, but it's where the dog first makes a contact with the sheep directly and establishes a relationship with the sheep.
Mm-hmm.
I always think of, did you ever see the movie Babe? With the pig.
Yeah, I think a long time ago.
Yeah, well, there's a point in the movie when it's like, bah, ram, you. Then the pig's telling the sheep, you know, yeah, come on, you guys, let's do this together. We're a team. But the lift is about that relationship that gets developed in that moment.
Mm.
So it could be if a dog comes in too strong and startles the sheep might be too scared. If one comes in too timidly, or has a real timid nature about them, the sheep might just be like, eh, let's eat. Let's not acknowledge this. This dog does not have enough authority. So that immediate relationship that happens in the lift is worth 10 points just for that little bit of time that happens when that relationship is established. And then from there we have what's called the fetch, which is when the sheep are brought to the handler, and that should be a nice straight line to you. So, you know, points are being deducted for, you know, if the sheep start weaving around or there's inefficient movement, because we want these sheep to be treated with respect and kindness, mm-hmm. but still get the job done.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the beginning of the course. And our novice dog handlers, that's what their course will consist of. It'll be that piece of work, and then they put the sheep in a pen. With the pro novice class and the open class, we actually bring those sheep behind us and we start a drive. And in the open class, it'll be 300 to 400 yards of driving. And that's when the sheep are now being moved away from the handler and the dog is behind the sheep and we're directing them through a set obstacle. We'll have panels or gates for the sheep to travel through. So that's the next piece. And again, you miss the gates, you're losing points.
Mm-hmm.
If your lines are not nice and clean and straight, you're losing points. So we want it to be a real efficient style of work by the part of the dog.
Mm-hmm.
And the part of that is handling, helping the dog understand. The dog does not know where these sheep are supposed to go. So the handler's kind of driving the program there. So it's a fascinating sport to me because I can't think of another dog sport where the dog gets to work so independent. The partnership is probably 52% of the handler working with the dog, but the dog is out there, you know, 48% of the time just getting the job done and reading the sheep and sorting out situations and thinking on their own to what they need to do. It's just amazing.
Mm.
And then, let's see, the next piece of work on a course would be what we call the shed, and that's where we take, let's say we have 6 sheep that we have going around the course. When they come back to the handler, we would need to take, say, 2 out of those 6 and move them away and take control just to of those sheep, which is very hard because sheep cling together when they're in a small group and they feel a little bit of the threat of the dog there. They don't want to be away from their buddies. They like their buddies. And so getting your dog to come in and take control of just a couple can be a very challenging piece of work. And it's kind of like if you've ever seen a cutting horse work cows, you know, they really need to do a lot of lateral movement to take control of the stock. And then from that point, we put them in the pen, hopefully.
Yeah.
And all those parts of the work, if it's not done quite just so, then the points come off.
Mm-hmm. Does a dog ever run it perfectly without any points taken off?
I don't believe it's ever happened.
Okay.
You know, I did actually just a month ago had an opportunity to see one of the top handlers in the U.S., Alistair McRae, run a double lift course, which has two outruns. So it's 800 yards, the sheep in one direction, 800 yards of another packet of sheep in another direction. So a very large course. And I think over all that, he lost maybe 6 points, which is barely anything. That was almost a complete perfect run.
Well, with a name like Alistair McRae, how can you not do well in a sheepdog trial?
Right.
Well, it sounds like a great way for people to get exercise too. I mean, there's a lot of movement, 800 yards each way.
Yeah, you got to have a fit dog.
Yeah. Well, and that's too, you know, when you think if you're considering, you know, getting a border collie as a pet, you know, when there's dogs that are high energy breeds, pointers, you know, all these breeds that are bred to be in, you know, have the capacity to run these long distances and, you know, just such intense physical work. It's like you got to be ready to meet those needs if you're not out there herding sheep all day.
Absolutely. You know? You need that mental stimulation and you need a nice, some good physical exertion.
Yeah.
Good, healthy physical exertion.
And it's
some things just wind them up. You know, you don't want to have a dog, that type of dog, really wound up by exercise. You want that dog to relax with exercise. So there's a different types of work that help do that for a dog.
Yeah, and I think for a dog that is really, really, like, kind of crazy ball-driven, I don't typically recommend that the dog going crazy chasing a ball be their primary form of exercise because it gets them so amped up and wound up.
Yeah.
Rather than, like you said, something that's more even and that's going to kind of expend that energy more
evenly.
And engage their brain, which is part of why herding. I took my older dog herding. He was a mix and we took our cattle dog once, and there's nothing like herding to get a dog exhausted. I mean, it was like just a short time, too, and they were like, whoa.
Absolutely.
So,
when we first take dogs out for their first time on sheep, you know, usually 8 to 10 minutes, and they're done. They need a rest and to regroup, and a lot of it is mental. Their instinct is telling them, go left, go right, respond to what I see here, watch these sheep move, and their body kind of takes over. And their mind kind of quiets, but because their instinct is so strong, and it's very fascinating to watch that light bulb come on and watch them start using their body or let them become kind of engrossed in what they're doing at such a high degree.
Yeah. Now the dogs, you know, herding dogs, they've got this drive. It's not something. I mean, and it varies with individual, as with everything. But they've got the drive. It's there. They typically know what to do. And, of course, varying degrees. Do the sheep, because of all of these years of having dogs working with them, do you see that with the sheep as well? Or
you mean that the sheep are affected by it?
Well, that the sheep kind of, like, the dogs are like, okay, I'm working with sheep. That's the way it's supposed to be. Like, it's like natural. Is it natural for the sheep to work with the dogs?
That's kind of an interesting question. I would say they still, most sheep need to, they go through different stages of their life. When they're lambs, they're just really curious about the dog. They might come up and try to sniff the dog's nose. And, you know, there's no fear when they're at that age, which is really curious to me.
Mm-hmm.
But they learn it from their parents. Their parents are running away. They decide it's probably a good idea to move away from the animal, the dog. But, you know, if they're treated right by the dog, the sheep respond respond really well. They understand that they're not going to get hurt, and the fear lessens, and they're more comfortable just going, okay, I'll move in that direction. Thank you for telling me where to go.
It seems like if, you know, you've got your sheep and you've got your dogs, that the sheep and the dogs, you know, working together on a daily basis would form a relationship, and it would be easier and maybe more challenging in some ways, but easier to work together because you're kind of part of all the same family.
Sure. I think for people who are, have a working farm situation, their dogs and their sheep get to know each other. They get into a routine, and it's there you go. You know, they do have a very efficient way of getting their tasks done. With trialing and competitions, we really like to have fresh sheep to use regularly to keep the dogs stimulated and challenged, because different, just like different breeds of dogs act differently, different breeds of sheep act differently. So, you know, I like to keep a variety of different sheep available to me to train my dogs and get fresh sheep regularly, so they're constantly being challenged by something new and different.
And when you say fresh, do you mean sheep that have never been worked by dogs, or just sheep that are new to those dogs in particular?
Sheep that have not been worked by dogs.
Okay.
So even like this competition that's going to be happening this weekend, is we're having the sheep were just offloaded, or not offloaded, what do I want to say? They just came out of the Blue Mountains. He gathered them up out of the Blue Mountains last night, and they're on their way to Vashon. And these are a sheep that have been grazing loose. They're used to coyotes and bear and mountain lions. So we're really not sure this weekend if the sheep are going to win or if the dogs are going to win, because they have seen dogs before for vaccinations and stuff when they're being handled, but they come from, you know, a group of 1,000 sheep, so they don't get individually touched by a dog very much.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, it'll be a different kettle of fish. It'll be a good challenge for the dogs, no doubt.
Good. Well, we are going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes with Maggie McClure, head sheepdog of the Vashon Sheepdog Classic, coming up this weekend on Vashon Island. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Now I wanna be your dog. Now I wanna be your dog.
The Natural Pet Pantry offers everything you need for feeding your pet a raw food diet. Most health issues pets face today are a result of poor diet. The Natural Pet Pantry makes raw, cooked, and custom meals for your pets, all prepared locally using only grade A meats and vegetables. Located in stores around the Puget Sound, the home delivery is available from Stanwood to Gig Harbor. Visit naturalpetpantry.com or call 206-248-1079. For more information on how to add health and longevity to your beloved pet's life, that's naturalpetpantry.com.
Hi, I'm Joy Turner, host of Talk With Your Animals, the show that lets you talk with your animals Wednesdays at 3 p.m. As a medium, I talk with your companions live on air to find the answers to the questions you want to ask. Call in and ask about health, behavior, transitions in life, or anything else. Even talk with animals who have crossed over. Animals have wonderful things to say. Join us for a fun-filled and inspiring hour Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Talk With Your Animals with Joy Turner, the show you and your animal companions are going to love.
We all want to feel good, and when we look good, we just feel better. Hi, I'm Shawn Dene, inviting you to join Dr. Dawn and myself on Radiant You Radio. We will explore the good, the bad, and the ugly about looking fine. We'll throw the spotlight onto procedures, treatments, and nutritional methods to help you become a more radiant you.
Don't miss Radiant You Radio every Friday at 2 p.m. right here on Alternative Talk 1150.
This is Julie Forbes, your host of the Dog Talk Show. If you've been listening, you already know how I feel about Invisible Fence Northwest and their safety solutions for dogs.
But get this, they help cats too. They tell me they've helped thousands of felines enjoy safe freedom outdoors or can keep them safe inside. They also have gentle ways to create a dog-free zone for your cat, so your dog will stay away from your cat's food and litter box. Visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you want the Dog Talk Show discount.
Following the herd is fine until they lead you off a cliff. Think for yourself. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Now I wanna be your dog.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes, and we are back with Maggie McClure, head sheepdog, with the Vashon Sheepdog Classic coming up this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, October 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, on Vashon Island at Misty Isle Farms. Welcome back, Maggie.
Good to be here.
Okay, gosh, so many questions still for you.
Yeah.
Now, just to give out the information about the event again, it's Friday is the novice, both dogs and people, and then Saturday and Sunday will be the more seasoned herders.
Exactly.
Okay. And the event benefits local teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And the website is VashonSheepdogClassic.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, too, there was going to be some local seasonal food available for purchase at the event?
Yeah. There's a caterer called She Fidgets who has been, she really specializes in using as much local food as possible and seasonal cuisine. She'll be doing the food. It'll be fabulous. She's also kind of tied into helping us redo our lunch program on the island as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to get our school lunches more healthy and local. So mm-hmm. she's part of the movement to do that.
Oh, great.
And her name is Marty. We're super excited to have her be our food vendor for the event.
Cool. So it's a great event to get out. It's you tell me it's just beautiful, beautiful green fields, and Misty Isle Farms just sounds like a place that I want to go to for sure. And then to just watch these dogs doing their work, it's really beautiful to watch. And I know we're planning on coming out Saturday afternoon. And it's from dawn to dusk, you said?
It is. You can come and join us for coffee and lovely baked goods and sit uh-huh. there in the morning, or come in the come and go as you please.
Okay.
And yeah, we're oh, one thing I wanted to mention also was we talked about the dog sponsorships earlier, and mm-hmm. I did want to let people know that that is 100% tax deductible. So if you do go and decide to be a tax or do decide to be a sponsor, mm-hmm. that you will get a letter from Partners in Education mm-hmm. with your tax deduction. So I just
Great.
Wanted to clarify that.
Great. And there's a small fee for entry, is that right?
It's $5 or free for 12 and under.
Okay. Now, I have a question about herding. I'm curious to hear your opinion on this. This is something that I've told clients and what I've heard, over the course of the years working with training and behavior. And I have two cattle dogs, obviously very strong herding drive, and they, they don't like the vacuum. They try to herd the vacuum. Telly, our female cattle dog, believes it's one of her main purposes to keep the vacuum in the corner where it is. And otherwise, if she wasn't there, it would just be, a bad scene. I mean, she's really like, you stay right there, vacuum, don't move. And, she doesn't bite us or anything, but I often feel her nose on the back of my calf helping me down the hall. And, it's just like she's doing this instinctive behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's also something that we have to control because sometimes it's not appropriate, or they'll, being sort of cautious of strangers at first, that can come out with more teeth involved than nose. Mm-hmm. And so they also need to know that they need to control the drive. I understand that it's there, and there's times that you can't do it. Do you find that taking a dog and doing like herding with them and teaching them how to sort of harness that drive and give it, well, one, give it an outlet, which is always good, a constructive outlet. But do you find that, like, okay, I've learned how to kind of control my impulse in this setting. So do you find that that helps them when they're not actually hurting?
I do. I think it's really important because when you start teaching or working with a dog with sheep, you're setting them up in a very controlled environment. So you have this access to teach them that they get to work the sheep when they listen to you. So they're in a high drive state, but yet they have to listen to you. Mm-hmm. And so the more your dog can learn to come away from something that's so exciting or lie down and lie down even though they really want to move forward to gather them up or whatnot. So the more that they can stop and think and just hear us when their instinct is so high and their drive is running so high, it can only help a dog.
Mm-hmm.
I remember hearing rumors years ago before I did this sport that, oh, no, once you take them to sheep, you're creating a monster. You know, they'll want to work everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I guess if you did take your dog out to go herding somewhere and the dog got to run amok and then you went again and your dog went and run amok and you
right.
did that a few times, you would be creating a problem.
Right.
But if you're truly working with someone who's good to help you, you could get some good, consistent impulse control out of your dog and good recall all happening in the presence of livestock.
Mm-hmm.
And that's only going to help impulse control in other areas.
And where can people go, or how do people find out if, you know, someone's got their herding breed or even a herding breed mix or maybe even a non-herding breed?
Sure.
And they want to, you know, get out of the city, get their dog out, do something fun, take them herding. You know, how do you find out where to go, or do you have any recommendations of where people can go?
Yeah, I would say for the Puget Sound area, probably the best place for all breed people to go would be Fido's Farms down towards Olympia. They work with all sorts of breeds. It's a really positive environment. Nothing bad is going to happen to your dog there. You can have, they have good, what we call dog broke or puppy sheep,
mm-hmm.
who are really calm sheep who won't be too crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a really good place to go to first get exposure.
Okay. And then I think you had said there was a place out on Whidbey?
On Whidbey Island, yeah. There's a gal named Susan Crocker, and she works a lot with Australian cattle dogs and Kelpies and whatnot, and she's a great contact. A couple websites that might be helpful for people would be osds.org, which is the Oregon Sheepdog Association, Oregon Sheepdog Society.
Okay.
In Washington, we have the Washington Stock Dog Handlers, and you can find that on the internet as well. And that might be a good place to network with people who are actively involved, you know, find out where the events are, find out, since it's such a small community of people who do this sport, I think if you ask around to people who are actively involved, you will find the good people to work with.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, it's definitely something that we are excited to do. I think we were planning on heading out to Whidbey at some point with the cattle dogs because they definitely need the impulse control, and we also just would have a blast doing that with them and watching them work. We took Levi once, and it was just beautiful. They just know, and he was totally calm around the sheep. He was like, yeah, those are sheep. Big deal. This is where I'm supposed to be, like, you know, as my chewy, my lab mix that I used to have. He would bark the whole time and just be so excited. And Levi was like just zen dog near the sheep. It was funny difference. So
That's so great. I know when my first experience with herding, I was so active in agility and teaching agility and competing in agility. And I got this border collie. And boy, the first time I went to a clinic and I put them on sheep and went out there and worked with them, it was like the rest of my dog sports and activities just dropped away. It was like his light bulb lit up and my light bulb lit up and we're like, all right, well, we don't need to do anything else.
Yeah.
It was just like an aha moment for both of us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't wait to come. I will definitely find you, hopefully, if you're available on Saturday afternoon, and say hi. And I can't wait for the event. And thanks so much for being on the show. And the website, again, is VashonSheepdogClassic.com. And there's a link to that on the Dog Talk Show website. So thanks, Maggie. And I will look forward to meeting you this weekend, hopefully.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye. So I don't know if I said this, Eric, earlier about the Seattle Seahawks game. Mm-hmm. Leia did not win.
Oh,
but she ran a great race. And the videos for that are posted on the Dog Talk Show website, www.dogtalkshow.com. And you can see the videos of her, of our experience sort of leading up to the race, and then kind of a crazy video of her race. But it's funny to watch. You can hear me screaming.
I thought maybe like a dog had like come running and bashed into you from behind.
No,
and there the camera
that's me
dropped.
trying to video. Race started. Ah, Leia! You know.
Just very proud and excited.
Yeah, and it was just so fun again. And we've got a great weekend coming up. The Vashon Sheepdog Classic. You can go to the Dog Talk Show website for all the links to that. And we will be back next Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. Thanks for listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.